This double story is one of my topmost favorite passages in all the Bible. Now, I've preached it I don't know how many times, but it's never occurred to me until now that a major theme in these stories is the idea of people reaching out. It's a basic human thing. Everyone reaches out to others at least once in a while, because we all have times when we need to reach out. And we all feel moved from time to time to reach out to help someone whose plight touches us. This story connects to us today. Thing is, people back then tried to be independent, nearly as much as we do. And they wanted to handle their problems on their own. But sometimes, oftentimes, that wasn't going to happen. And they would find that out. And that meant desperation. And that desperation became the strong motivation for reaching out. And the more desperate you were, the further out you would reach. Are you feeling a connection with those folks about now? Now, the scene in our story isn't all that unusual. Jesus is in the middle of his healing tour in the early part of Mark's gospel, you know, cruising around Galilee, healing miraculously and teaching large crowds. And he's on the way into town, apparently, when Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, no less, somebody who by this time ought to be opposed to Jesus, comes and falls down at his feet. And he begs him repeatedly, as the text says, and that couldn't have been easy. You know, being leader of the synagogue would have been a position of some prestige, some power and wealth. And there's a sense, too, in the original language, that the begging was intense and prolonged. Jairus, this big important man, was groveling. He was a living example of desperation. What would drive a man like Jairus to do this? What would break him down to the point of overcoming the social pressures on him not to seek out this rebel rabbi from Nazareth? What would anguish him enough to make him swallow his pride of place and drive him to the ground in front of this itinerant preacher? He had to overcome a lot to reach out this far. The one thing that would drive him to this point was how much he loved his little daughter. You know, we never get her name, but that's okay. It's enough to know that Jairus loved her so much he'd do anything for her. Even swallow his pride, set aside whatever his fellow synagogue people might think, and put himself in the hands of this guy, Jesus. And of course, Jesus responded like he always does. When somebody reaches out like that, he reaches back. And he went with Jairus, even though we have this little interruption in the story. Mark was a great editor, and he made sure we knew all about this interruption, this little interlude that tells us a lot about Jesus, about reaching out, about healing and faith. The interruption came from another absolutely desperate person. By now, we know that Jesus was getting much closer to town. Now, obviously, he'd have to be if he was following Jairus to his house. And so the crowd was getting bigger and more raucous. The words in the original language paint a picture of something like a cross between a mosh pit and a riot. People were going a little crazy. So getting anywhere near Jesus was like taking your life in your own hands, which was just what this one poor woman did. She had had a flow of blood, as the original language actually says. And we read that, and she'd had it for 12 years. I think it's best just to read the 12 years as a piece of historical information. Commentators can't agree on what symbolism 12 might mean here, though some of them try to make a big deal out of it. The irony seems clear enough to me. Since Jewish boys and girls were considered adults at age 12, that means for an entire lifetime, this woman had had a flow of blood. We talk about things to overcome. And here are a few. She would have been marked as unclean, so she'd have been a social outcast. They figured in those days that all misfortunes were brought about by sin, so she'd have been branded a sinner. Losing that much blood is bound to make you weak, so there was that problem. And here was this absolute crush of people that she had to get through to get to Jesus. She could get stopped to death. Never mind that she wasn't supposed to be approaching a teacher of the law. Women in those days weren't allowed to do that. For her to do what she planned to do meant she was going to possibly make the great teacher unclean. And in the end, she couldn't know how Jesus would react. All these things to overcome, and for what? For a chance that she might be healed. And friends, that's not just reaching out. That's reaching out in faith. You see what's in common here between the two? For both Jairus and the woman with the flow of blood. Can we just call her Flo? You know, like the woman from the Progressive Insurance ads. Let's call her Flo. For both Jairus and Flo, their desperation drove them to take risks. They couldn't leave things as they were, but they knew they couldn't handle things on their own. They knew only one person to whom they could reach out, and that was Jesus. I pause and think about what life is like in the modern world, in America, 2012. Some of you have come face to face with desperate people. You've seen people who come here looking for help, needing money to keep the electricity turned on in the winter so they won't freeze, or looking for a bag of groceries so they and their kids literally won't starve. Or maybe they come for prayer because they got someone sick in another state and they know they can't get there. They just want to pray and have someone pray with them and for them. I've done that right here in this sanctuary. If you watch the news, you know how many people there are out there that are in a totally desperate way. And things aren't getting better. Yet what do most of them think? They don't want to ask for help. Not really. It's ingrained in their being so strongly that you have to make it on your own. You have to be self-sufficient. That reaching out for help, well, it's unthinkable. And because that's so ingrained, that's a lot to overcome. And even worse, they might even think that God has abandoned them. So they're afraid to reach out for the one thing they really need, Jesus Christ. At least Jairus and Flo knew on some level that they could reach out to Jesus. What do our modern people think? Of course, any miracle story always has a solution, a place in the narrative where it all comes out all right. There's always a place where the reaching out is met by a reaching back. The woman makes it through the crushing, moving crowd and gets through to Jesus. She thinks, if I can even just touch the fringe on his garment, I'll be healed. Jewish men wore a little fringe on the hem of their outer robes, and it had some religious significance I've long ago forgotten. But it was very much like the fringe you'd put on a drape, or like the fringe on my usual stoles, or like the fringe on these pulpit pyramids. Very small and very hard to touch. But this woman managed to get through and to touch the fringe just as she'd planned. She didn't plan on what happened when she did. Immediately, says the text, the woman felt herself healed. Immediately. But something else happened immediately too. Jesus knew that power had gone out from him. Of course it did. It was the power of faith. And faith has the power to make us whole, to heal us, to save us. You know, that's what the one word in the original language means. It has all those meanings, you know. To make whole, to heal, to save. But wait a minute. Sometimes you can overreach. And maybe this woman has just done it. Jesus starts turning around in the crowd and asking, "Who touched me?" You know what? Sounds like the kids in the back seat on an alarm car trip, doesn't it? "Stop touching me! She touched me!" And you say, "Nobody is going to touch anyone else for the rest of this trip." But this was serious. When you read this story from the first time, you're caught up in the drama. I mean, this is the Son of God here. You don't just go grabbing the Son of God, do you? What's going to happen? You know, this would make a good serial for TV, you know. Tune in next week to see what Jesus does with this woman who touched him. But if you'd been paying attention throughout the gospel, you'd have known what was going to happen. Jesus was pleased at this woman's faith, and he wanted to do some reaching out of his own. See, when you reach out to someone, it's really important that they reach back. And the woman was truthful. Even though she was really afraid, she came and told it all. Just like I think Jesus had hoped she would. And then he reached out to love her in a powerful way. "Daughter," he said, and that's a powerful term of affection, "your faith has," and here's that word again. It could mean saved or made whole or made you well. "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You know, the idea of peace for Hebrew people meant total well-being, something more than just not having a disease. When you put that together with Jesus calling her daughter, it's clear he was reaching out to Flo in a way she'd probably never been reached out to her in her entire life. Well, but the story of Jairus' daughter picks right up again. As soon as Flo has been healed and a blessing pronounced, some of the people from Jairus' house come up to him and say, "Your daughter has died. Now, too bad for him. No miracle today." That's what they probably thought when they said, "Why trouble the teacher any further?" Jesus needed to reach out to take a risk himself. He needed to reach out to one who was desperate, Jairus, and draw him in into his circle. He needed to show him how to believe. Jesus told him, "Do not doubt, only believe," to set up what would follow. Now, we don't have to go into any of the delicious details of the rest of the story. Read them for yourselves. The verses are listed in your bulletin. Take the bulletin home and look them up in your own Bible. The bottom line of the story is this. Jesus reached out, took the little girl's hand, and then he uttered words of command. "Little girl, get up." And she did. She reached back from death to life because Jesus took the risk and reached out to her. And it was a risk, all right. The people from the synagogue were all there. And when he suggested to them he was going to raise her, "She's only sleeping," he said. They were already laughing at him. They didn't understand. See, I think people make fun of us because they don't understand what we're doing. You know, we're reaching out to offer life instead of death. We refuse to accept the world's answers like the synagogues people did, accepted the world's answers. We refuse to do that, so lots of people write us off. But we know the eyes of desperation. But even more, we know the eyes and heart of faith. Sometimes people will reach out to us in easy to see ways. That's true. Sometimes it won't be so easy to see, but they'll be reaching nonetheless. And sometimes they'll need us to reach for them. God will guide us and tell us what to do. And then will God's healing and salvation move closer to being complete. See, Jesus Christ has reached out to us in a way that no one or nothing else in the world can do. We have been offered eternal life if we'll just believe in Him. His Spirit will help us, will heal us, will make life better while we're here. And we've also been offered this body of believers, His church, to live in. We have been made whole in that way, saved from life that could be as desperate as anything you'd ever read anywhere in Scripture or in our modern media. So what does all this mean for us? First, it means that you and I can always reach out for Jesus Christ. Your station in life can be high and mighty, like Jairus's, or lowly, like Flo's. It doesn't matter. You can always reach out to Him. Second, you can rest assured that He'll reach back. Jesus loves it when we reach out to Him in faith. Flo did it behind his back, but she did it with faith, and look what happened. You can expect no less for yourself. Jesus is eager to be sought, eager for you to go to great lengths to get to Him, and more than ready to forgive a few things when you do. Finally, He's ready to use you as a witness to the power of reaching out to Him, of being reached and being healed. This is all about faith. We can be the people of faith that others in the world reach out to, who can in turn help them to reach out to Jesus. Reaching out, being reached, being healed. That's life in the kingdom.